So what else might be needed to make a building beautiful? We've already looked at such qualities as order, balance, and elegance. Now here's a fourth, the quality of coherence. For years, on my way to and from the shops, I passed a house, which, despite being one of the ugliest buildings I've ever seen, taught me more about architecture than many masterpieces have done. The house was positioned at one end of a tree-lined avenue in North London, where it attracted my attention through the evidence it gave of having undergone some kind of severe identity crisis. It looked as though each wing and each floor of the house had been designed by a different team of architects, so that the collective result was an uncomfortable patchwork of contrasting styles. While some aspects of the house aped the look of a Tudor cottage, others tugged towards the Gothic. There were clashing hints of the vocabularies of the Arts and Crafts movement and the Queen Anne. Even the top floor was contorted, seeming undecided as to whether it wanted to be a mansard or a regular, straight-sided story. A few years later, I moved west, and there began to have similarly strong feelings about a tower block, one of four, on Shepherd's Bush Green, built in the early 1970s by the architect Sidney Kay. The block was imposing for this part of the capital, 20 stories high and visible from as far away as Hampstead. Its height didn't, however, prevent it from seeming resolutely squat. Its roof ended dumbly in a flat plane, below which a series of heavy white bands accentuated the horizontal axis. The windows, meanwhile, made no concession either to their views or to their upward progression, but remained identically shaped and sized from the ground floor to the top. It was as though the aesthetics of a post-war seaside bungalow had been applied to the dimensions of a skyscraper. I wanted to demand that this building either make itself properly unobtrusive, or else make the most of its height and bulk, but in any case, that it stop straddling the line between meekness and assertion, like an adolescent who insists on taking to the stage, but once there, can only stare mutely and sullenly at the audience. Not until several years later did I come to understand my dissatisfaction with the tower, thanks to an essay by Louis Sullivan, with one of the more intriguing titles in the history of architectural criticism, The Tall Office Artistically Considered. Writing in 1896, at the dawn of the age of the skyscraper, Sullivan advised his readers that many of the new tall buildings were in danger of stylistic incoherence. The problem was that even as their massing thrust upwards to a height of 20 or 30 stories, their decorative motifs emphasized the horizontal axis, an orientation better suited to a two-story Palladian villa. The combination caused them to seem artlessly conflicted about their aims, as if they were pulling at once upwards and sideways. Sullivan urged architects to let their skyscraper designs be guided by one coherent principle. The chief characteristic of the tall building is that it is lofty, he proposed. It must be every inch a proud and soaring thing. Within a few years, his suggestion would be consummately realized in the great skyscrapers of New York and Chicago, from their tapered ground floor entrances to their ruby red lights blinking at the suburbs from the tips of their radio masts. These tall offices would be everything Sullivan wished, proud, soaring, exultant, and inarguably coherent. When buildings talk, it seems they never do so really with a single voice. Buildings are choirs rather than soloists. They possess a multiple nature, from which arise opportunities for beautiful consonants, as well as dissension and discord. While certain buildings appear to have agreed on their aesthetic mission, others seem more conflicted about their intentions, their features heaving querulously in contrary directions. They may disagree about their size, with windows, roofs, and doors clashing over questions of precedence. Or their forms may testify to unresolved squabbles about the nature of happiness. We could say that nothing in architecture is ever ugly in itself. It's merely in the wrong place or of the wrong size, while beauty is the child of the coherent relationship between parts.